It cannot have escaped your attention that the USA recently faced a significant moment in its history with the re-election of Donald Trump. Real estate mogul, business tycoon, billionaire, convicted criminal, and reality television personality as president. Many know him as the star of The Apprentice, a show marketed as the ultimate job interview. The show portrays contestants vying for success in a high-stakes environment with the famous dismissal phrase, "You're fired," looming over their heads. The aim is clear: justify your value, dominate your peers, and secure your position by demonstrating superiority. It's a survival of the fittest approach that makes for compelling television, but leaves many, me included, feeling uneasy. Yet over 76 million Americans voted for Trump in November 2024. Endorsing this combative, self-promoting style of leadership. And this raises questions about our cultural understanding of leadership. Have we become so accustomed to ambition, dominance, and self-advancement that we can no longer imagine a different way? Today's readings on Christ the King challenge us to reconsider these assumptions and remind us of a leadership style rooted not in ambition and control, but in humility, love, and service. Daniel's vision of the Ancient One and one like a human being points to a king whose rule is eternal and universal. This kingship is not about amassing power, but about justice, righteousness, and truth. The Ancient One presides over a court where books are opened, symbolizing judgment tempered by wisdom and fairness. This image of leadership is profoundly countercultural in a world where leaders are often celebrated for their ability to dominate or even eliminate rivals. Paul's letter to the Colossians takes this vision further, presenting Christ as the cosmic King through whom all things were created and reconciled. Christ does not fire the unworthy, but redeems and restores, calling us to a way of life that reflects love and grace. And in John's Gospel, Jesus redefines kingship entirely. When Pilate questions him, Jesus reframes the question, "My kingdom is not from this world." His kingship is not rooted in coercion or power struggles, but in truth, in humility, and in self-giving love. And even on the cross, Jesus embodies this leadership, forgiving those who mock him and promising salvation to the repentant thief. His path to kingship leads not to a throne of gold, but to the cross, where he offers redemption to all. This starkly contrasts with modern notions of power, which often prioritize ambition and self-interest over service and sacrifice. And as we reflect on Christ's kingship, we are called to examine our own understanding of leadership. True leadership begins with humility. Jesus, the King of Kings, was born in a stable, lived as a refugee, and died as a criminal. He did not cling to status or wealth, but served others selflessly. Leadership rooted in truth demands courage, as Jesus demonstrated before Pilate. His kingdom is built not on manipulation or deceit, but on the enduring foundation of truth. And finally, Christian leadership is about love. Love that forgives, love that heals, and love that includes even the most marginalized. And this call to embody Christ's example of leadership is especially urgent for the church today. Recent revelations of abuse and the subsequent resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury have shaken the Church of England and the wider Anglican Communion to their core. These events expose the tragic misuse of power within the church, where authority meant to protect and serve was instead wielded to harm and to silence. This betrayal of trust demands repentance. It demands systematic reform and a renewed commitment to the gospel's call for justice and healing. Leaders entrusted with the care of God's people have a sacred duty to guide, protect, and nurture, not to exploit or scatter. The failures revealed in these scandals reflect a deviation from any Christ-like model of leadership. And if the church is to regain its integrity, it must commit to transparency, to accountability, and a leadership style rooted in humility and in service. The path forward for the church must begin with truth-telling and repentance. This means listening to the voices of survivors, acknowledging past failures, and taking meaningful steps to ensure such abuses are never repeated. It also requires humility, an openness to criticism, a willingness to change, and a commitment to prioritizing the needs of the vulnerable over institutional self-preservation. Just as Christ's kingship is marked by sacrifice, so must the church's leadership reflect a readiness to bear the costs of reconciliation and renewal. On this feast of Christ the King, we are reminded that true leadership is not about wielding power, but about serving others with love and humility. The church at large, and the church here in this parish and benefice must embody this vision as we seek to rebuild trust and fulfill our mission. As Christ forgave his tormentors and welcomed the repentant thief into paradise, so must the church offer hope, healing, and inclusion to all. The good news is that Christ the King offers us a model of leadership that transcends the failures of our human systems. His is a kingship of justice, mercy, and love, a kingship that invites all, especially the lost and the broken, into his eternal kingdom. If we put our faith in him and follow his example, we too can participate in this kingdom of grace, a kingdom where no one is fired, but all are redeemed. Amen.